Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank? The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. It's all about panoramic volume and fully fanned out lashes. With its tapered brush, the new Panorama Mascara catches every single lash, giving you the false lash look without any of the hassle. Say goodbye to clumps and flakes, because this mascara is specially formulated to resist them all day with up to 24-hour wear. And the best part? It performs better than luxe mascaras at only a fraction of the cost. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
Breaking news from True Crime and Cocktails. That's right, dear listeners, this is a very special breaking news bonus edition of True Crime and Cocktails. As always, I am your host, Lauren Esch, and as always, I am joined by my co-hostess with the most S, Christy Oxborough. How you feeling?
What a boob. I mean, I realize now, because we've gotten into it, but you clicked the thing and you were like, hey, are you okay with this meeting being recorded? And it's like, either you're okay with it or you leave. And I clicked leave the first time. And then when it popped up again, I realized in that moment, that was my error. I clicked leave. I'm everywhere and nowhere.
Well, I think it's just that we're both buzzing. We're a little jazzed. We're excited. We're doing something new. A breaking news bonus edition of the show, because there's been something going on in the news for the past couple of days that has gripped not only the world, but certainly by my co-hostess over there. From morning to night, I have been receiving text messages from her with up-to-the-minute news updates about the OceanGate submersive tragedy that is currently unfolding. And of course, I encouraged her. I said, listen, this is something that's like really, obviously you've shown an interest in. And we log on to record our usual episode tonight. And she says to me, I have some pages of research. And I said, let's record it. Let's put it out there. This is just the kind of thing that these two chuckleheads will do. So I'm very curious, as I'm sure that your listeners are, about what you have dug up already, because again, this is something that is ongoing. And I think that, I mean, I don't know what the basis of your research is, but I can't wait to hear all of it.
Well, I mean, good God, thank God. We could have made a full episode of just my voice notes to you in the last,
I should have saved them and then just somehow stitched them together. Yeah.
It's just, it's taken a hold of me. It won't let go, and I don't want it to. But, oh God, I don't even know what this is going to be, but this is what it is. So, a company named OceanGate ran tours of the Titanic wreckage using a submersible vessel called Titan. The 22-foot carbon fiber and titanium submersible came with, also can house 5 crew members. It entered the water 435 miles south of St. John's, Newfoundland, around 6 a.m. on June 18th. An hour and 45 minutes into the dive, Titan lost contact with its supporting vessel, a Canadian ship called Polar Prince. Titan has since been reported missing, and a search and rescue mission has been underway ever since. So OceanGate was founded in 2009 by Richard Stockton Rush III. I could go into him for a while, but I won't. Basically, a rich dude who went to Princeton, and he's a descendant of not one, but two men who signed the Declaration of Independence. For wow. those playing along at home, it would be Dr. Benjamin Rush and Richard Stockton. Wow. If you'd asked me to name five people who signed that declaration, those aren't names I would have used, and I don't know if I could have done five.
Yeah, I hear you. Agreed.
Ben Gates would be disappointed in me. That's a National Treasure reference. So Stockton gets this idea to build a submersible to explore the insane depths of the ocean. You know, the place that human beings have no business being. And just to clarify, a submersible is supported by some sort of secondary vessel, usually on the surface. A submarine, on the other hand, is fully autonomous, and it can renew its own power and that sort of thing.
Got it.
Now, is it a surprise that the Titan is missing currently? Absolutely not. In 2018, OceanGate CEO Stockton Rush was sent a letter by the Marine Technology Society, a professional society of ocean engineers, academics, and other peers. The letter told Rush that they had a unanimous concern about the Titan. The society accused Rush of falsely advertising the Titan's safety standards while allegedly refusing to allow an independent third party to test the vessel. Part of the letter said, quote, "Our apprehension is that the current experimental approach adopted by OceanGate could result in negative outcomes, from minor to catastrophic, that would have serious consequences for everyone in the industry." Stockton responded to the letter saying, quote, "Industry regulations were stifling innovation." Yeah. The same year that happened, a former employee, David Lockridge, filed a lawsuit against OceanGate, alleging he had been unfairly fired. David joined the company in 2015 as a contractor before being promoted to Director of Marine Operations. During a meeting in January 2018, David brought up his concerns about the quality control and safety of the Titan vessel, including the fact that there had been almost no unmanned testing of the craft. The alarm system only sounded off milliseconds before an implosion, which doesn't feel helpful.
Nope.
And the porthole window was only certified to 1,300 meters, and OceanGate planned to take the vessel to 4,000 meters. David said he was met with, quote, "hostility and denial of access to necessary documentation that should have been freely available." Moments later, he was given 10 minutes to clean out his desk and leave the building.
10 minutes.
10 minutes.
Wow.
OceanGate did manage to have their first successful excursion in 2021, but the Titan was described as jerry-rigged, including a video game controller, a specifically like a Logitech, like $40 controller as the operating system, and construction pipes as a ballast.
Wow.
But Stockton never seemed concerned about safety. On a CBS News podcast, Stockton said, quote, "At some point, safety is just a pure waste." He added, quote, "I mean, if you just want to be safe, don't get out of bed, don't get in your car, don't do anything." He also once stated that the government is, quote, illogically obsessed with safety.
Now, look, we go back and forth on things that the government may do, but I don't know that I've ever felt
they're being too safe?
Nope. I don't think that's ever come to mind. In fact, in some ways, I'd say, you know, there's some things, you know, we don't need to get into specifics and divert here, but yeah, I'd say more safety I would be okay with in general. Yeah.
Agreed. Yep. Agreed. I don't think I've ever once in my life said, regarding anything, that safety is a waste.
Nope. And I don't think I've ever said something was too safe. I don't think I've ever experienced that personally.
Yeah.
And for anyone who has Sounds good. Sounds nice. I love to see that for you.
For you.
For you.
We're too neurotic to,
well,
to consider it. But according to the OceanGate website, the Titan is designed to take five people to the depths of 4,000 meters, which is 13,123 feet. A quote from the website, paired with a patented integrated launch and recovery platform, Titan is easy to operate in varying sea states using a local appropriately sized ship for the project. The ship in this case was the Polar Prince, which was borrowed from their friends up here in Canada.
Right.
Another quote from their website. The most significant innovation is the real-time hull monitoring system. Titan is the only manned submersible to employ an integrated real-time health monitoring system utilizing co-located acoustic sensors and strain gauges throughout the pressure boundary. The system makes it possible to analyze the effects of changing pressure on the vessel as the submersible dives deeper and accurately assess the integrity of the structure. This onboard health analysis monitoring system provides early warning detection for the pilot with enough time to arrest the descent and safely return to the surface. So I don't know if it's a case of that just didn't go into effect or if the problem became well after that could be handled. I don't know.
Well, you also said that David Lockridge had said that that monitoring went off 10 seconds before an implosion at one point, right? So,
yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, like milliseconds.
Oh, so sorry. Of course. Yeah.
And I don't know if milliseconds is a lot of time.
I would call it, again, not a lot of time, not too much safety, you know.
Correct. So who the hell would get in this submersible? That's the question I think on everybody's minds. Thing is, I also have to add it to once you get in this thing, they shut the door and then they bolt it from the outside. OceanGate says that their expeditions to the Titanic wreck site include archaeologists and marine biologists. The company also brings people who pay $250,000 to come along. They're called mission specialists. They take turns operating sonar equipment and performing other tasks in the five-person submersible. The five people on board at this point include 61-year-old Stockton Rush, who was piloting the vessel when it lost contact, 48-year-old billionaire Shahzada Dawood, and his 19-year-old son, Suleiman. There was also French explorer and Titanic expert, 77-year-old Paul-Henri, oh boy, I'm going to butcher this, Nargileh?
Sorry.
I'm so sorry for probably saying that incorrectly. Paul-Henri has completed 37 dives to the Titanic and has supervised the recovery of 5,000 artifacts, including a 20-ton section of the ship's hull. The fifth person on the vessel was 58-year-old billionaire Hamish Harding, who has not one but two Guinness World Records. One record was for the fastest circumnavigation of the Earth across North-South poles. He did that in July 2019 in 46 hours, 40 minutes, and 22 seconds. The second was the longest distance traveled at full ocean depth by a crewed vessel when Hamish and the crew explored the Mariana Trench in 2021 for 36 hours. He also went to the South Pole with Buzz Aldrin in 2016, where at the age of 86, Aldrin became the oldest person to reach the South Pole. Hamish was also the fifth human spaceflight by Blue Origin, which was organized by Jeffrey Bezos.
That's been a minute.
Right? Jesus. I you'll love this. Didn't even write that in my notes. That just came out naturally.
I like that.
You're welcome. So the Titan vessel was last heard from around 8 a.m.-ish on June 18th, and in the late evening on June 20th, sonar picked up banging noises, which rescue crews believe came from the Titan. The sounds were also heard today, which is June 21st. It's not. For you, I guess it's June 22nd, but for us, It's June 21st. So the submersible has 96 hours of oxygen for a 5-person crew. According to the Coast Guard, they would be down to 41 hours as of 1 p.m. Eastern time on Tuesday. So at the time of this record, I mean, they'd be down to about 8 hours or so. So far, all search efforts have yielded negative results. I panic at the mere thought of getting into that vessel while it's on land, let alone being in it as it's running out of air. I can't think about it. That it has nothing to do with my fascination with this story. Of course, we hope that they are going to be rescued safely. There are a lot of variables, like how that vessel is likely filling up with carbon dioxide, because I don't believe they have any sort of way of removing that.
I also am curious too.
Yeah.
Not to be disgusting, but the human waste that would have to have been in there, there would have to be some now. I don't know what kind of system they have, and I may have already gotten ahead of you, but I'm also just concerned about how long can you breathe that in, for example, you know?
Oh, true. They showed it as like it was a bucket, essentially you pee in and then, or whatever you need to, and then put it in like a small little spot. So 5 men over the course of multiple days. Also, I assume they didn't bring anything with them, so they probably have no water.
I saw something about rations that the rations were so minor that, yes, I think at this point, because they weren't intending to be gone for this long, right?
I thought it was just a few hours.
I thought so too, but I might be incorrect about that.
I mean, great point about waste, because I can't even think about it. Also, not to mention, even if Titan was found at the bottom of the ocean, there is not a vessel that could actually physically get to them to retrieve them. To quote an OceanGate tweet that has since been deleted, even finding them in time, we're not sure that we can rescue them alive. It's a wonder that they, you know, deleted that. But don't worry, I have a screenshot.
I know you do.
Because again, I've been on their account. I've been screenshotting everything. Just anything that makes me go, what? Point is, we haven't even got to the part that has made me obsessed with this.
I know, and I can't wait. I just feel like, again, like the PR nightmare that is this company at this moment. Yep. Like, I am putting aside the potential death, because that's awful, and none of these people deserve to die, in my opinion, by the way. But the idea that they're releasing things, and there's a paper trail of saying things like safety's overrated, all those kinds of comments. And now they're like, well, even if we could get to them, we can't. Like, it's, I just feel like if they do work with a PR company, I think that person probably has developed an ulcer over the past few days.
100%. There's video interview of the CEO basically laughing about the whole thing. It's like, there's a single button in here. It works like an elevator. Here's the controller we use. And the guy interviewing him was like, for real?
And he's like, this is one of those, like, those TikTok challenges where it's like, this didn't age well.
Correct. Yeah. Right? It's a horror show, the whole thing.
Yeah.
But if the people on the vessel were to die, OceanGate does not blame themselves or even their CEO's lack of concern when it comes to safety. OceanGate blames the government. What? OceanGate advisor David Concannon tweeted, quote, "We are working this problem hard," all caps. "We have solutions and we were trying extremely hard to implement them. I hope to get a few hours of sleep, wake up, and see very positive responses from the U.S. government in my inbox. If I don't, the whole world will know the names of the people who did not do their jobs." How about the people who ignored safety? Those are probably more the people who, you know, didn't do their jobs.
I'm also going to go out on a limb here and say, if I were in your job, sir, I don't think I'd be able to get a few hours sleep. I think I would probably be working around the clock trying to rescue the innocent people who are now potentially not going to make it back. I have trouble sleeping at the best of times. I can't imagine what it must be like to live a life where you could have a mass casualty on your hands and you're like, I hope that when I wake up from my from my slumbers, I've got some answers. Like, wow. Jesus.
The absolute attitude of, oh my God, these people might not make it back.
Oh, well, if I pop. Well, we'll see what happens when I wake up. Like, what?
It's wild. Again, people need sleep. Understood. But of also course. To blame.
He's just people. Sounding very glib. So we are responding yes. with additional glibness because it feels 100%. Warranted.
Ocean Gate Expeditions tweeted, quote, "We criticize the U.S. government bureaucracy for delaying the rescue operation. They say the rescue team can't start their mission without authorization from the Coast Guard." That tweet has since been deleted, but I've got a screenshot. But the point is, here's the thing. The government needs authorization from the Coast Guard because that's a rule. Maybe if your company followed rules, we wouldn't be where we are.
Yep.
But we are where we are. Fun fact, you can call it a fun fact if you like. I was horrified about it. This was the beginning of my interest in this. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing his name correctly or not, but Simpsons writer Mike Reiss apparently went on one of the successful Ocean Gate Titanic expeditions. When the Titan disappeared, he tweeted a photo of himself from the trip where he's inside the submersible. And he wrote, quote, "Yes, the sub that's gone missing is the same one I took down to the Titanic. I wish everyone involved the best of luck. For my experiences, listen to my podcast."
Oh,
and it's just people are missing and presumed dead. Here's a link to my podcast. I can't. Not the time, Mike.
Not the time, especially when it's, you know, we're covering the news in this. Like, people are reporting it this because it is news and it's newsworthy, in my opinion. But there's a difference between that and just trying to promote something of yours that already exists that happens to connect to it. Feels like maybe wait a few days.
Yeah. Some time. Maybe.
Give it a beat.
Yeah.
Give it a beat. Also, by the way, you could have the same, I think the same tweet just without the link could even work. You know, like,
correct.
Wild that this is happening. I had an experience about it, hoping for everyone's safety. And then if people want to on their own figure out that you have done this, you have this podcast, let them. But I feel like the A to B straight line just felt a little quick.
Yeah.
A little quick.
Yeah. I also feel like, do you really need more people listening to that podcast? I don't know how many do, but I bet you make tons of money off your own job anyway.
Well, he could afford to get on this thing unless it was gifted to him. So
great call. I think he's been one of the writers from the beginning.
Oh, wow.
So, or at least he's been there a very long time.
Right.
But again, I would have looked more into him if I'd had time. But again,
this is breaking news.
I did not have
time. You don't have time.
I didn't have time. So I have been on the edge of my seat, constantly refreshing for any updates, constantly making sure that Lauren is updated against her will. I honestly wouldn't be as fascinated by this whole thing if that CEO hadn't been so cavalier about safety and how it's been said that the people on board likely just didn't know the risks that they were taking in order to take the journey. But what I am most fascinated about in this entire thing isn't the vessel, it isn't the CEO or the shocking lack of safety protocols, it's the stepson of billionaire Hamish Harding. So Hamish married a woman named Linda. At the time of the wedding, they each had a child from a previous marriage, and since then they share a biological son named Rory. But my focus here is Linda's son. And I don't know how to pronounce his last name because I thought this might just be like a small like Patreon thing. So we're just going to go with it. 37-year-old Brian Saz. Apparently he's an audio engineer in San Diego. Now, Brian, had he used this time to stay off social media, we wouldn't have bothered looking into him. We'd be like, oh no, that's sad. This guy has children. That's, you know, but we wouldn't have gone further than that.
No.
But Brian put himself out there.
He did.
Not only did Brian attend a Blink 182 concert while his stepfather was missing, but Brian felt the need to post about it on his socials, saying, quote, "It might be distasteful being here, but my family would want me to be at the Blink 182 show, as it's my favorite band and music helps me in a difficult time." To be clear, the reason he said the Blink 182 show is because he tagged Blink 182 in that moment.
Of course.
Tell me you aren't close with your stepfather without telling me you aren't close with your stepfather. Brian also made sure to tag the band in the post and then posted to each band member, quote, "My stepdad is missing in the sub at the Titanic site. I'm here at the San Diego show for support. Thanks. Heart. Praying hands emoji." Maybe, just maybe, stay off social media. If you go to the concert, fine. Don't fucking post about it, you dink.
Yeah. Yeah.
The beautiful thing is I'm vindicated because you know who agrees with me? Cardi B. Cardi B ripped him apart in her Instagram story to say he should have been home waiting next to the phone to hear for any updates. Brian then lost it on Twitter, saying, this is a quote, "What a piece of shit, trashy celeb. Cardi B trying to get clout off me and my family's suffering." Brian, babe. Prior to this, I had heard about Cardi B. I had not heard about you. So she's not using you for any clout. Also, you tagged members of Blink 182 telling them your stepdad was missing. You are using your own family's tragedy for clout. Brian added, quote, "I went to a Blink 182 concert for coping rather than sitting at home and watching the news. Shame on you, Cardi B. Get some class." So sorry. He said, "Shame on you, Cardi." Didn't even put the B. So first of all, Brian, you can't just call her Cardi. It's too familiar for you. Second, she has more class than you ever will, sir.
Yeah. And I mean, again, everyone grieves differently. Everybody copes differently. If he was to choose to continue to go to that concert, that is his business, his choice, all of the above. But when you're putting it out there and you're inviting the attention of the world, because that's what this case, you know, tragedy currently has, you're going to have people responding.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And look, I get it. Mark, Tom, Travis, back together.
It's
amazing.
The best.
No one wants to miss it.
I'm going to see them. I mean, it's going to be great.
See? There you go. Go. But don't post about it, man. But it's also, it wasn't just a post about it. It was the tag the members and be like, "I need support right now, you guys." It was going way too far above and beyond. And then, today, yesterday, I guess, for you, on June 21st, Brian replied to an OnlyFans model's post, which included a photo of the woman, very scantily clad, which is her right. She put the caption, "Can I sit on you?" Brian retweeted the photo with the caption, "Yes, please," then added another comment that read, quote, "Please keep my families in your prayers. Praying hands emoji heart."
Does he think that's going to get him? Just, I don't know, attention from the OnlyFans model? Like, because spoiler alert, she isn't going to actually sit on anybody. She is correct. Offering a online service.
Correct.
Oh, boy.
It's just, sir, grow the fuck up. 37 years old. I expect this from maybe 17. Maybe.
I'll give him till 25. Again, that's when your brain stops growing. As you know, I'm hot on this whole concept.
Of course. Just saying. But since we're talking about Brian, we should also mention his arrest in 2007 on two counts of armed robbery after he and two associates allegedly robbed a 7-Eleven and an AM PM in the span of 35 minutes. Leave my fucking 7-Eleven alone. You know, 7-Eleven, some coupons. Anyhow, they got away with 14 cartons of cigarettes and several hundred dollars, but were caught when their getaway vehicle was hit by a train. oh my God, no one was hurt, but they did get arrested.
Wow, that's wild. Never saw that coming.
Right?
Yeah.
And just when you think that might be the worst thing this douche has ever done.
Oh,
I might feel bad saying he's a douche publicly, but no, I won't. Brian was detained by police in June 2021 for stalking and released on a $100,000 bond. Brian became obsessed with EDM DJ Alice in Wonderland, which, beautiful name. I love that.
Clever.
Couldn't be happier.
Clever.
So funny. He became so obsessed to the point he got her tattooed on his body. Like a, it's a her, but like her head is down and her hair is, so it's definitely her, but like her, like not her full face, but like he got her on his body. I just can't get past that. And then somehow she wasn't flattered by that, which is so weird. And so she blocked him, as is her right.
Of course.
And so Brian then threatened to kill her, saying that she will pay when I show up to her LA apartment. Brian also threatened to cause a massacre at an EDM festival called Trilogy in Vegas. He tweeted, series of tweets that have since been deleted, quote, when the massacre happens, I'm taking note of who's viewing this tweet and who is in jeopardy. Those who disrespect me, the real joke is on your ass at Trilogy. The funny thing is, bitches actually think they'll be safe after calling my ass out. Laugh emoji, peace sign emoji. He then told Allison that she'd be fine if she unblocked him and heard him out. He also posted a photo of Allison claiming she was his date to the festival. The festival promoters did revoke his ticket.
Oh my God.
He also has been known for posting pictures and tagging and using the actual names of various women online and claiming that he's dating them when he's absolutely not.
But Bowser.
Brian immediately choosing violence when he gets rejected is gross and terrifying, and the reason many women just don't feel safe in general. Women have been raised to be nice so that men don't get angry, but we can't be too nice or men will think we're flirting with them, and then they'll get angry when they learn we actually weren't flirting with them. It's a mess. I thought we'd be better by now, by the time we got to be adults. Apparently that was wishful thinking. The world is on fire. Fuck it, I'm Christy. Again, wasn't planning to do that. So we get what we get.
Well, listen, just what a wild story from top to bottom, every detail. Obviously, at the time that this is going to be released, we don't know what the status is of the vessel. We don't know what the status is of the people. We're, of course, hoping for only a positive outcome. You know, I've seen a lot of things about people saying, you know, these people are multimillionaires, they deserve to die. And I just think that that's a real ugly color. I think that we can judge choices that people want to make if you so choose. But I don't think wishing death upon these people is necessarily what we need to be putting out there just into the universe. Would I have spent my money doing this? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. But there's also a 19-year-old kid on there who is there with a parent. So let's just also remember that I don't think that teenager, I don't think we need to put that energy towards that teenager, especially. So hoping for the best. Again, we will keep you posted as best we can in terms of how these breaking news things come up. But we wanted to share this with you, or basically I pushed us to share this with you because, you know, I'm always impressed by Christy's work and her passion on this specific topic. So thank you, Christy, for putting this together on so short notice. We're so grateful to you. And as always, you never cease to impress and amaze.
I couldn't be happier. I also couldn't be more stressed to try and do something in a small amount of time, even though I didn't know we were doing this.
Hey.
I just planned it as extra. But hey, it's not like we made a full documentary.
The BBC is putting out a full documentary about this topic by Friday, I believe. And I was like, well, in that case, we got to get ahead of the curve.
I mean, there's a lot of information, but also like, you could wait some time to make a full documentary about it.
Well, I have a feeling they're probably going to make more than one. That's probably going to be
That is very true.
Part one of many. But thank you, dear listeners, for joining us for this very special bonus episode of True Crime and Cocktails. If you haven't already, give us a follow on the socials on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube at True Crime and Cocktails, on Twitter at Not Detectives. We have bonus content over on patreon.com/truecrimeandcocktails. And the only place for official True Crime and Cocktails merch is truecrewmerch.com. So check that out if you are interested as well. Christy, do you want to say goodnight to the people?
Good night, Vince Vaughn.
Random. Good night, Blink-182.
Whether you're working out, walking, or running errands, Audible can help you keep your heart rate up month after month with their pulse-pounding collection of thrilling audiobooks that you can't hear anywhere else. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog, which includes thousands of titles. This month, check out the Audible original, The Space Within. It's a chilling 8-part story about a psychiatrist, Dr. Maddie Weil, voiced by Academy Award winner Jessica Chastain, who is tasked with unlocking the memories of a child who went missing for 7 hours. Maddie soon discovers that there are more who have faced similar experiences, and the truth of what is happening to them may impact the fate of humankind. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/thrill or text thrill to 500-500. That's audible.com/thrill or text thrill to 500-500.